This is Corinne.
And this is Ayani.
And you're listening to Sex, Love, Literature, a pop culture podcast where we take a semi-scholarly look at why
and how
the sex stuff in media matters.
Welcome to the second installment of our divorce comedy mini-series. This episode, we're talking about the 2023 Korean drama, Dr. Cha.
We get into Dr. Cha's messy, maddening marriage, why her husband belongs in the trash,
the garbage,
and the rewards of watching our leading lady find herself again.
If you're also team divorce for Dr. Cha, let us know on Instagram or Threads at SexLoveLit and on Tumblr at SexLoveLitPodcast.
And don't forget to subscribe to and rate our show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any of your other favorite podcast platforms.
And if you have a moment, leave us a review. It can really help convince people to check out our show.
All right, let's dive in. Hello, hello, SLL listeners. Welcome back to our divorce comedy mini-series. This episode, we are doing a deep dive-ish into the divorce of the Korean drama Dr. Cha. But before we get started, we will start, as ever, with our segment on What's Sparking Joy. So, What's Sparking Joy is where we talk about something we are currently watching, reading, or listening to that is sparking joy for us. So, Ayani, since you are also here, although I have not yet let you speak, what is currently sparking joy for you?
So literally, before we recorded today, I started watching Apothecary Diaries while folding laundry, and it's delightful. Really quick synopsis. I've only watched 3 episodes, so this is going to be a super quick synopsis. And
this is an anime, you said?
Yes, this is an anime on Crunchyroll. A young woman, I think her name is Mao Mao? Mao Mao. Her name's Mao Mao. She was an apothecary with her dad, knows all about the herbs and the poisons and the things. And when she's out delivering something, she delivers some medicines to a brothel. As one does. And there's a lot of big titty ladies of the night that work there. She goes to pick up some herbs and she gets kidnapped by some men. Fast forward 3 months, she's working in the rear palace. Oh, I think it's important to mention this is like a Chinese fantasy historical.
This is a Chinese animated show.
No, it's Japanese. It's from Japan.
But it's about, and it's in Japanese?
Yeah, it's in Japanese, which has been throwing me off because I keep expecting it to be in like Mandarin, right?
Yeah.
But no, it's a Japanese show out of Japan, but about China. And it's about ancient China, right? So we're talking, this is the dynasties and the kings and the queens and the concubines and all that kind of stuff. So time skip 3 months. She's working as a laundry girl in the rear palace, which is where all the concubines and the eunuchs are hanging out. And two of the high concubines, the emperor's favorites, have had children. One has a little boy, one has a little girl.
Ooh, that's not good enough.
It's not good. But they're sick. The babies are sick, and one of the mamas is getting sick. And our girl, Mao Mao, figures out why and tries to leave them secret notes because she's literate but hasn't told anyone that she's literate. And by the end of the first episode, she's found out, but the concubine who listened to her note and saved her baby is like, you're going to be one of my ladies in waiting now. So pretty much now she's working as like a medicine woman as a lady in waiting for one of the favored concubines with the daughter. So that's kind of where we are. There's also this man who they say is a eunuch, but I don't believe it. Who's like, he's very beautiful. He's definitely got that androgyny thing going on. And all of the other women are like, oh my God, he's gorgeous. I love him. But Mao Mao is like, bruh, I don't like you. You give me the creeps. And so I'm excited to see what happens with that. But it's fun. I like it a lot. I've already cried by episode 3. I won't tell you why. I have feelings though. And I will probably report back again when I finished it. But yeah, it's fun. It keeps tripping me out that they're speaking Japanese, though, because my brain, like, expects them to not be. Because I'm in China. So that's what's sparking joy for me.
That's so interesting, because I wonder if they're telling the kind of story that wouldn't make it through the censorship office in China right now. Because there are such limitations. Like, I don't think harem dramas are allowed right now. Like, harem dramas had a bit of a heyday for the past few years, but, like, mm-hmm. they're not really getting through anymore. So, like, inner palace drama. I mean, there's always going to be drama in the inner palace.
Right.
In historicals. But the kinds of stories they're allowed to tell in historicals are extremely limited right now.
Well, I'll report back and let you know what kind of stories are actually happening. Because since I'm only on episode 3, we're still, like, very introductory. She's had two.
Yeah.
It's funny because she has to, like, solve medical cases. And in a mm-hmm. lot of ways, she's reminding me of Zhao Yao from... My brain's like, let's get divorced. No, that's what
Lost
we're talking about
forever.
Later. Lost you forever. Because she's, like, very into testing poisons and, like, she'll test them on herself. So she's got, like, a slight immunity to, like, poisons and alcohol and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And she made, like, an aphrodisiac, which some of the Ooh. Other ladies-in-waiting accidentally took because she had made a treat for herself because she's not affected by that kind of stuff. So, like, I'm already liking her already. I'm a little biased.
Great. Sounds very fun.
It is fun. I'm liking it. But what's sparking joy for you, bud?
So as promised last episode, the C drama I'm currently watching, so the Chinese drama I'm currently watching is called The Legend of Shen Li. And it is a high fantasy, immortal fantasy, so the Xianxia genre. It is about a demon lord, everyone calls her, like, my lord, even though she's, like, a woman. I think there must be something in translation that they're, like, trying to hold on to. Anyway, she is promised in marriage to someone from the Immortal Kingdom. So the, like, the, you know, the people who are always in, like, the white robes and are very, like, kingdom of heaven and often a little bit annoying. But the demon kingdom.
High and mighty.
Yeah. The demon kingdom needs an alliance with them because they're guarding some abyss with other demons trapped in it. Anyway, it's a whole thing. But they need an alliance marriage. So she's promised in marriage to essentially a fuck boy. Says,
oh, no.
No, I don't want to do that. And runs away to the mortal realm where she gets stuck in her form as a phoenix. That looks like a chicken. And is picked up by a mysterious mortal who knows more than he should about
chickens.
Magical type thing. About chickens. he recognizes her as a phoenix. So he, like, helps her recover and she, like, gets her form back and she falls in love with him and is like, I can't marry you, though, because you're a mortal person and I'm a demon and I'm going to live a very long time. And then she ends up, like, agreeing to go back to there's this very, like, idyllic first few episodes where they're just, like, doing very domestic things. And it's like, oh, this is so nice. This is so lovely that my heart is going to break later because it's too happy.
You know the tears are coming.
Yeah. But it turns out that the mortal, they tell this in the setup, so this is only kind of a spoiler. It turns out that he is the last remaining ancient god, and he cannot fall in love with anybody, because if he does, the natural law will kill him. And also a lot of other bad things will happen to, like, the structure of the universe, because, like, the various spells he's done to, like, help the development of the world along will also disappear with him if he dies.
Oh. Well.
So...
The we know what must happen high. Then.
Yeah. So it's a very much like forbidden romance kind of situation. But the two leads' chemistry is so sizzling that, like, I've seen multiple posts on Tumblr about them. So these two actors have worked together before in a C-drama called Princess Agent that I have not yet watched but apparently should watch because they had such amazing chemistry then that has really only improved with age. That people's Tumblr posts about The Legend of Shen Li are like, I would have some analysis, but I keep getting distracted by how badly these two people need to fuck whenever they are together on screen.
Not when she's a chicken, though.
Okay, not clear. When she's a chicken, but
I just
want to
be clear.
Like, he has chemistry with her as this CGI chicken-looking phoenix. It sounds impossible and it sounds like it doesn't sound real, but like she keeps like trying to run away and like get away, but also she's so tired and so injured in this bird form that people keep catching her and trying to cook her. But, like, I don't know how, but he has chemistry with the CGI Phoenix. I don't know what to tell you.
So where can people watch this chicken show?
I think it is a drama from Youku, but I am watching it on Viki, which is where it is available to stream in the States.
I'm sorry, I'm still laughing about he has chemistry with a CGI chicken. I don't know what to tell you.
I should also note that the drama is based on a web novel by an author who also wrote Love Between Fairy and Devil.
Okay.
So I have some faith in their storytelling chops. And mm-hmm. I have about 10 episodes left, and it's been extremely solid so far. Several very tragic romance side plots that are not making me feel great about the prospects of the main couple.
Oh no, what could ever let you think that these folks might be doomed? I don't know possibly where you could get that idea from.
I have been promised by the genre, that's a lie, I have not been promised by the genre that they'll be together at the end. I have not been promised that in any way.
don't lie about your expectations. You know what this is.
But anyway, perhaps we can use that as a transition to talk about our main focus of the show today, which is the divorce comedy, Dr. Cha.
That was really well done, Corinne.
Thank you.
Hold on. So, Dr. Cha is a show that I watched first, and then I don't know if I actually convinced Corinne to watch it, or if the fact that we were going to talk about divorce comedies convinced Corinne to watch it.
Okay, actually, this is very funny. The reason I watched it is when I was... So I, like, have been slowly convincing my parents to watch more Korean dramas. Which my dad
was such a pusher.
Yes. But I did not actually choose to watch Dr. Cha. When I was home for Christmas break... and I was very ill, so I was just, like, sitting on, like, the couch all the time. My dad was, like, going through Netflix and was, like, well, first of all, my dad's favorite show ever is Extraordinary Attorney Woo.
Makes sense.
And anytime I'm, like, we should watch something, he's, like, how about the second season of Extraordinary Attorney Woo? And I'm, like, that doesn't exist yet. The male lead has to come back from being in the military first.
From the wars.
And then my dad, like, flipped to Dr. Cha and was like, this looks good. We'll watch this. And my dad put it on.
Boom. Thank you, Mr. Matthews.
And then he kept being like, another episode? Another. And it was my dad who was the one who wanted to, like, keep him moving as we binged this show.
Good. I'm glad because your father has enabled us to talk about it. This episode. So one more quick aside. I told my brother Akinde to watch Extraordinary Attorney Woo, and he got a little too emotionally overwhelmed the first episode, and he was like, I don't know if I can handle this right now.
That show is, like, people who don't watch Korean dramas have for some reason watched Extraordinary Attorney Woo.
It's good. I like it.
It made the leap.
And part of me is like, well, now maybe we should have had your dad on the show to talk about Dr. Cha. But to give a little introduction of Dr. Cha, I've got a synopsis I stole from IMDb, but also kind of spruced it up. None of the synopses for Dr. Cha online that I found were very good. I didn't read any longer reviews, but...
I think that's part of why it took me so long to watch it, actually, because I thought it would just make me upset.
Yeah. And it kind of does, but in a funny way.
Not the way I expected it to.
Yeah. So Dr. Cha... tells the story of, well, I'm going to remix this, actually. So it tells the story of a housewife who had completed all of her medical school training, but due to circumstances, pregnancy, she decided to become a housewife and stay at home. However, after a near-death experience, and I add realizing how little her family actually values her, Dr. Cha returns to the medical field now as a, I think at this point she would be a resident because she completed her medical training and she's going back for her residency to become a kind of full-fledged doctor. Mm-hmm. Her doctor, and I will specify here, medical doctor, husband, maintains a perfect dual life. And quoting IMDb here, because this was just fantastic, he is great at his job, and he is also great at cheating on his wife. So that is our synopsis for Dr. Cha. We'll, of course, unfold the story a little bit more as we're talking, but I think it is really important to know that our main character, Dr. Cha, had this life where she was a promising medical student, but due to life circumstances has been a housewife for, like, I think the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. And due to, I think we said, when we talked before, we said she has, like, kidney problems, like her kidneys fail her.
She goes into kidney failure and needs a transplant.
Yeah. But after that, based on that experience and based on realizing really how shit her family kind of treats her, she's like, I'm going to do something for me. I'm going to cut my hair and I'm going to go back to school and I'm going to be the best damn doctor I can be. So with that, I'm going to turn over to Corinne to introduce us to the characters.
Yeah, so we'll introduce other characters as they come up, but the main ones that we'll be discussing. So Jung-hwa plays Cha Jung-suk, who is our female lead, full-time housewife, who decides to return to her medical career. Our male lead is So In-ho, played by Kim Byung-chul. He is the perfectionist husband of Jung-suk and the chief surgeon at a university hospital, and he has an affair with Sung-hee. So Choi Sung-hee, played by Myung-se Bin, is In-ho's first love, who is a family medicine professor at the same hospital.
Mm-hmm. It's messy.
And then we also have, as our second male lead, Min Woo-hyuk, playing Roy Kim, who is a charismatic surgeon who gets entangled with Jung-suk. And he's the doctor that does her kidney transplant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So both he and her husband are surgeons.
Mm-hmm.
Messy.
And then also some other characters just to note in the setup. Cha Jung-suk has two adult children. Adult-ish children. Mm-hmm. Her son is in medical school to become a doctor. Her daughter is, like, in high school.
Just to clarify, her son is a resident with her, so he's not in medical school anymore. They actually have the same job.
He is applying for residency at the same time that she decides to.
Right, so when they... Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, yes. So when the drama opens, he's in his, like, last year of medical school.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay.
And then she also has a daughter who's in high school and is about to be applying to university.
Mm-hmm.
And also, she and her husband live with her mother-in-law, who is a very intense mother-in-law.
Yes, she's a whole situation, bro. I don't know if we're going to get to talk about the mother-in-law a lot, but she was a lot. So, I kind of... hinted at this in the beginning by saying he is great at cheating on his wife. But this is a show that we both came into, like, screaming divorce.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how many times I texted Ayani divorce in all caps, but it was many.
Yeah, and if we had watched this at the same time, I would have been texting Corinne constantly divorce. Actually, I roped Andrew into this one, Andrew, my spouse, and would just yell at him about...
I think you also texted me how much they needed a divorce, even though I had no idea what you were talking about.
So I just really needed these people to not be together again. I think I actually ranted to my mother-in-law about how these people needed to be divorced. So I guess I'll give some context about why I think they need to be divorced. Spoilers, obviously, from the tip of the show to the tail of the show, but In-ho. Has been cheating on his wife for an extraordinarily long time.
Mm-hmm.
He has a whole second family, mm-hmm, outside of his relationship with, I know her name is Jung-suk, but in my head she's Dr. Cha because, yeah.
Well,
you know,
we'll
she's
just call
the
her
Dr.
Cha.
But not only does he work in the same hospital as Sung-hee, who is his first love, and his baby mama... His daughters are the same age. So his daughter with Dr. Cha and his daughter with Sung-hee are the same age. They are, like, applying to school at the same time,
yeah,
and doing all this kind of stuff.
They go to the same fucking high school and the same, like, art tutor school.
Yep. 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 And Sung-hee's daughter knows all about the fact that she's kind of like the bastard child. Mm-hmm. But his family is so unaware that any of this is happening. So, like, this man has been living a literal dual life with, like, two women and two sets of children who he's taking care of and catering to. But then also treats Dr. Cha like shit.
Okay, so the reason that I...
I'm so mad. Sorry, go ahead.
It's been, like, months since you watched this show and you're, like, still heated.
Fuck that guy. But yes, go ahead.
So, like, in the first episode when Dr. Cha goes into kidney failure and, like, I think she passes out or something and has to go to the hospital and can't get anyone to come be her guardian. So, like, her husband, who is on a trip with his mistress, won't come to the hospital to support her. Her mother-in-law is like at a gathering and like is like, oh, I'm too busy, I can't come. And then I think she finally ends up getting her own mother to come.
Yeah.
But like, and then her asshole husband is a match for her to donate his kidney or like part of his kidney, and he won't fucking do it.
Not only will he not fucking do it, his mother begs her not to take his kidney because he's the head of the household. And if he's not up to snuff, he won't be able to, like, maintain their standard of living or
and
whatever.
It's better that she die than he give up part of his kidney.
So from the get-go, divorce. They needed to be divorced. Like... Not only that, but, like, he would disrespect her in front of their children. So her children kind of developed a kind of disrespect for her as well. Mm-hmm. Feeling like they could talk to her in any which kind of way. Like, nobody really appreciated all the shit that she was doing to keep this household together. Mm-hmm. And when she decided to go back and become a resident, nobody supported her because they were like, oh, but who's going to take care of the house?
Who's going to make my dinner? Who's going to make my breakfast? Who's going to make my smoothie?
Mm-hmm. And I'll give her children, I'm mad at them, but I'm a little less mad because they are children. And I think her son was the one who was perhaps the most supportive of her, even though he was like, wow, it's weird that my mom is a resident with me at the same hospital.
At the same time.
And also he was like having a situation with the chief resident and like didn't want his mama to know, but also didn't want the chief resident to know that was his mama. It was a lot of drama. But everyone kind of took Dr. Cha for granted. And when she wanted to do better for herself, nobody was there to support her. Least of all, her husband, who tried multiple times to convince her not to do this and then made her life a living hell at the hospital.
Yeah, it's not just that he didn't support her. It's that he actively sabotaged her.
Yeah, multiple times. Multiple times. Mm-hmm.
And like schemed with his mistress to tank her.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've kind of done a lot of, like, summary here. So maybe to, like, shift into, like, analysis here. Why is it that that is so upsetting to us? What is it that is so triggering about that to us to make us want them to get divorced come hell or high water?
So I'm going to speak a little personally here. And I know we don't usually talk, like, a lot about our personal lives on the show. But, like, my husband has been on the show, so I could talk about him. It's fine. Like... I think one of the most important things to do when you have a spouse is appreciate the work that your spouse puts in to making your lives work, but also understanding and supporting the things that your spouse is doing to make their lives better. Because, like, even though you all are individuals, you also have, like, a unit that you're functioning in with now. Mm-hmm. And it's a give and a take, right? So, like... I don't want to pick up and move our family every like 2 years because my dreams and goals are taking me elsewhere, right? And I'm saying that very specifically for us. But there's like a tick and a talk, right? If someone is taking care of the house for 20 years and her children are grown and are getting ready to move out, for her to take care of herself a little bit, like I don't know. I think it was the lack of support that was really difficult and really upsetting for me, especially because, like, of how supportive Andrew was when I was like, surprise, we're moving to Florida because I'm starting graduate school, right? And it's not that it wasn't really a surprise. We obviously had a lot of conversations about it and all that kind of stuff. But, like, having each other's back is so key to me in relationships. And to watch nobody have her back And then not only not having her back, but actively trying to make her life difficult, right? I think that was the thing. Before we found out he had a whole other family, because that's just a betrayal, right? But that I think was, for me, what was super, I mean, I'll use triggering, and made me start yelling divorce.
Mm-hmm.
What about for you?
Yeah, I think it's that, it building on also everything you already said, so seconding that, it's also how much she was taken for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. She and her husband, like, slept in different beds. They, like, she was only a housekeeper. Like, I think there's a housekeeper, but, like, an underpaid, underappreciated housekeeper. Because, like, I think mm-hmm. there's a sequence later where specifically they try to hire a housekeeper to do everything she did when she's in medical school. So, like, or when she starts her residency again to, like, fill in that gap. And no housekeeper will do that much and put up with that much abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it was like, girl, like, get out.
God, yeah. And kind of leaning on that too, they're wealthy, right? They're not Chabel status wealthy, but this is a well-off family.
Mm-hmm.
And she received like an allowance, right, to get mm-hmm. things and do stuff. But it was significantly less than like even the money that her mother-in-law got to do things and be out and about buying fancy purses. So she was completely devalued in the household.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the show is making a kind of commentary on, I'm putting quotes around this, but like the household labor of women.
Yeah.
Right? And how in a lot of traditional settings, let's say, that is not upheld and valued always.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, I know we gave this disclaimer beforehand, but like, you know, we're approaching this from our American context, right? So I don't know exactly what the conversations are about like Korean women and housework, right?
I do know that there's, so I, again, not Korean, but there is like a trend in K-dramas of like commentary on the labor expected of daughter-in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking here of like Because This Is My First Life is making similar commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they also do that in a similar storyline in Fight for My Way.
Mm.
And it's normally like with younger women who mm-hmm. like maybe are about to get married or just got married, but it's like that's the kind of labor, like manual household labor and being very subservient and filial to your in-laws, but like that's the kind of labor that Dr. Shaw has been doing for 20 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we were definitely very heated kind of going through some of those things, but we both also firmly believe that this is a comedy, right? Yeah. So where does the comedy come from in Dr. Cha? Like, if we're screaming divorce at the top of our lungs the entire time, what is making us laugh here in this show?
So I think the first thing for me is that Jung-hwa playing Dr. Cha is a comedic actress.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, mm-hmm. the other things mm-hmm. that I've seen her in, I've seen her, she has a guest role in Our Blues, and she's also the female lead in the rom-com A Witch's Love, which was a Nuna romance.
Ooh.
From 2014. She's very good in that as well. But I went in knowing that she's very funny, and also does a lot of physical humor, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And kind of piggybacking off of that, Kim Byung-chul does a lot of comedic work in this as well. That's the actor who plays her husband, In-ho. He, from his facial expressions to how he's using his body, right, he's a funny actor to watch. And even though I was furious with him for a large part of the show, he would make me laugh because of just how he would be reacting to things, how he'd be moving through the world. So I think there is, like, a lot of physical comedy, and I don't necessarily mean like prop falls and things like that. I more mean like how they're using their facial expressions, how they might physically react to something, right? There was a moment, which is painful, but like where Dr. Cha tries to like put the moves on him and he's pretending to be asleep, and how like how we are shown he is pretending to be asleep as an audience was very funny, even while the scenes was kind of heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, it's that way that they're playing scenes that played another way would be tragedies.
Right.
mm-hmm. are comedies. They also do a lot of humor in, like, the hospital setting.
Yes, with Dr. Cha
sort of remembering how to, like, work with patients and be a doctor and, like, oh, there's, like, oh, I don't know why. K-dramas, like, really love potty humor sometimes. There's, like, a whole sequence where Inho has to... There's, like, a patient. They visit, like, an isolated village, and there's a patient who is extremely constipated.
Oh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
And he has to deal with that situation.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a whole mess. Oh, no, no bad pun intended, but just, like, you know, the situation. And something I think that also kind of lends itself to comedy is that Dr. Cha is very clearly our female lead, but the show... I don't think the show is very clear about who we're supposed to think of as the male lead, right?
I think you are right.
Because she has her husband, who's a terrible, stinky man. But then we also have Roy Kim, who is very much more the, like, typical male lead. He's handsome, he's charming, he's a doctor, you know.
He's hot for Dr. Cha.
I mean, and he's just hot, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's already married, right? So we have mm-hmm. these kind of moments where he's, like, testing the waters and she's very much like, oh, he's not into me. I'm an old married crone, right? Mm-hmm. Which clearly she's not. She's also a very attractive woman. So, like, their relationship can sometimes be played for laughs. But once...
Well, that's where we get... That's more where we get the rom-com elements more than with her shitty husband.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And can we just call him Shitty Husband for the rest of the episode? But when Husband McShits starts to get jealous of Roy and starts to maybe miss having Dr. Cha around, we get some interesting comedic moments where they're, like, competing for her affection and mm-hmm. she's oblivious to what's happening. Like, there's this ridiculous sequence where she is talking down somebody who wants to jump off the roof of the hospital. She talks them down. They don't jump. You know, everything is safe. But then she falls off the roof because is it Roy and Inho are having some kind of argument or something, and she trips and falls mm-hmm. and lands on, of course, the thing that's there to catch somebody if they fall off the roof. But then when both men come down and are, like, fawning over her, everyone who works in the hospital is like, what the fuck is happening here?
Because at that point, also, like, nobody knows that she's married to Inho.
Right. You know, but these two men now are, like, fawning over her in a very public space. So it creates this kind of, like, embarrassing but also deeply hilarious scene because of how it's acted, right? Mm-hmm. And because of the situation that they're placed in. So it's funny, man.
Yeah, it is funny.
When I'm not raging. Kind of, I guess, speeding along a little bit, because we did say that these would be mini-sodes, but we clearly have, like, a lot that we can talk about with Dr. Cha. I'm going to kind of ask this in a two-part question, right?
Okay.
One of the things that we want to talk about in these mini-sodes is, like, what really stands out to us about these divorce comedies. And I think part of what really stands out to us is the question of, so do they end up together, right? We have these two men that are vying for Dr. Cha's affection. So what happens with that? Do they end up together? Do we want them to stay together, right? I'm going to just say, you know, the entire time I was terrified that she would stay with her shit husband because he would be like, baby, I'm going to do better. Please, baby, please. And so that was something I was rooting against for the entire show. But I don't want to mm-hmm. just be the only one that's talking here. So, like, by the end, what were you hoping happened, and how did that match up with what actually happened?
So I was hoping she would get divorced from Inho, and she did, and I'm glad that she did.
Mm-hmm.
I think the sort of if, the relationships that were more of a question mark were Inho and his baby mama,
mm-hmm.
Choi Sung-hee. Because she also, like, has been trying to get him to divorce his wife mm-hmm. for so long so that mm-hmm. she can marry him. So it's a little bit of context there for viewers who haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Sung-hee was Inho's first love, like, in college. Mm-hmm. And basically Dr. Cha and In-ho hooked up, and she got pregnant. So it was a betrayal of his first love because Dr. Cha got pregnant and ended up marrying In-ho, and then that is how that started. So, like, Sung-hee had this whole complex of, like, well, I was first. It should have been me. Why am I the mistress? And I don't know. Actually, before I say we talk about the ending, what did you think of the development of that relationship?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, literally what I just thought is that In-ho needs to learn how to use condoms because he just keeps having children unexpectedly, right?
Yeah, it's not like he slipped. Like, come on, dude.
But the development of that relationship I thought was actually kind of interesting because she was kind of terrible to Dr. Cha, and of course I was team Dr. Cha the entire time, right? But I was really happy when at the end she was like, I gotta do right by me and I gotta do right by my kid, and pining over this man who always placed me second is not doing right by either of us. So I was happy that she kind of like got her shit together. She actually went to work at another hospital with a better role. I guess a more important title is a better way to put it.
It was, like, a better fit for what she wanted to do. And also, like, another thing that I actually kind of liked is she, I think, was Dr. Cha's doctor for a little bit and figured out something that was wrong. Did I make that up?
It was for her mother. So Dr. Cha's mother got sick. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she figured out, because her pride as a doctor, I think, kind of stepped up here. She was like, what's going on between me and you has nothing to do with me caring for your mother. And in a sense, I think there were a lot of other doctors who couldn't figure it out, but because she's a good doctor, right, she was able to track down the problem and get it fixed.
I really did like that the show never suggested that Sung-hee was, like, doing medical malpractice for, like, personal revenge. Yeah. She was an extremely competent woman in her professional life.
Just a messy one in her private life.
Yeah.
I'm really happy that both she and Dr. Cha got away from, like, the weird triangle that existed with In-ho since college.
Yeah.
Which, like, was what, correct 20 years ago?
It was correct for him to end up alone. A relationship that I was maybe a little bit more wistful about was Dr. Cha and Roy Kim. Because I really liked him. I thought he was, like, a good person. He was a good doctor. He treated – part of what drew him to Dr. Cha in the first place is how caring she was as a doctor and how good she was with patients. Like, he respected – what drew him to her was, like, his respect for, like, her skill.
Though I think he started to like her even when she was his patient.
Yeah, that too.
Because he did take her to the back and let her scrub in because she did have medical training. Like, it wouldn't just be weird to have her back there. You know, so I think he was touched by her personal journey and how resilient that she was as well.
Yeah. So I really liked their relationship, and I think it was – so actually, I think I maybe – so – in the end, she basically, I think he, like, confesses and she kind of, like, very gently turns him down. And then there's, like, a time jump and he's found somebody else at the end of the drama. And I think it was good that Dr. Cha had time to, like, figure out who she was as a person. But I was also just, like, a little bit sad about the missed possibility there of that relationship.
You know, I can understand that. But I think for me, I was more happy that she had found happiness with herself. I think so much of her life had been dedicated to other people that having her thrust right into another relationship, not that then she would be dedicated to somebody else, right? But I think she needed some time alone, right? I think she just needed some her time. And maybe it would have been fun to have him kind of come back at the end. But I think something that this drama was kind of playing around with was the ideas of the ties that bind, right? And that a lot of this was people letting things go at the end. I think the only couple that stayed together was her son and his cute little chief resident. I don't mean to, she was a badass. I don't want to like, I don't want to minimize her role, right? I think, you know, she was, I really liked her a lot, and I liked the way that she kind of enacted a sense of girl code when it came to Dr. Cha, because she found out that her husband was cheating, that In-ho was out here being a hoe. And, you know, I think she handled that in a way that was kind of interesting and both professional and personal at the same time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think a lot of this was about how sometimes we get tied into these circumstances and tied to people that we really kind of need to just let go. Mm-hmm. And also there had always been that weird kind of thing that, like, you know, he was her doctor. So there is that doctor-patient kind of line that you're not supposed to cross.
That is also a thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think I was okay with her being alone at the end because this was about her finding her the entire time, right? Mm-hmm. And her finding value outside of being a wife, outside of being a mother, and finding the thing that she was passionate about, which was medicine, but also, like, holistic medicine. She had, like, a little restaurant at the bottom.
She was really – she wanted to be a family doctor who could, like, treat the whole person.
Yeah.
Which I think was a really, I don't know, perhaps a little bit idealistic, but a nice way to think about medicine.
Well, not necessarily. Not to put on my I have friends that are doctors hat, but, like, there is another doctor of medicine, like a DO, in which a lot of what they think about is kind of treating the whole person. So I think it's a doctor of osteopathic medicine or something like that. But they pretty much do a lot of the same things as MDs, but, like, there's more of a focus on, like, other methods of care, and not in kind of like that quack doctor way where it's like, here, take these random supplements. Right. So, you know, I think her having a cute little restaurant with, like, a homegrown garden on top of it is definitely kind of like leaning into the idealism end of things. But, you know, for a show that thinks a lot about medicine, I think it was really good that they were also thinking a lot about, like, treating the person.
Yeah. So another thing I do want to – that there was some, like, narrative closure there that I think was useful is Dr. Cha, when she's pushing herself too hard as both a mom and as a doctor, her kidney replacement kind of fails again.
Oh, that's right, because she just isn't taking her meds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so Ino doesn't get redeemed in that, like, he doesn't get to keep his wife. He doesn't get to keep his mistress. He gets to keep his mother. But when given the choice, he sort of realizes, and I think maybe there's a little bit of narrative fantasy here, but he realizes the harm that he's done to his wife over the years and does, when given the second chance, to donate his kidney.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What did you think of that storyline?
Yeah, it's interesting because you're right. I don't think he is all the way redeemed. But I think in his character arc, coming to realize how poorly he's treated these two women is important for him and his growth. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Did she end up, like, not taking either? Because this was another place where he and Roy were trying to battle for his her affections, being like, take my kidney. Does she end up actually taking his kidney?
Because her first kidney ends up, she gets, because someone passes away in a car accident.
Right.
And then I think the second one, she does take
her
about-to-be ex-husband's kidney.
Yeah. But I think what was important about that sequence is he, even though there was kind of the joking about, like, take my kidney, and if you love me, you'll take my kidney, right? He does kind of talk about the fact that, like, I'm not doing this so that you'll come back to me. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm doing this because it's the right thing to do and because I should have treated you like this the entire time beforehand. Yeah. So I think there is – I agree that there's, like, a little bit of narrative fantasy here, but I did believe him kind of learning from his mistakes. Now, does that mean that he's redeemed? No. Right? Does that mean that anyone should forgive him? No. But, like, it didn't seem out of left field.
Well, it's kind of like the difference between forgiving and forgetting, because I think maybe Dr. Cha, I don't know, like, we don't forget his past wrongs. He doesn't get to erase them, but he does perhaps get to pay for it a little bit.
I suppose. Yeah. I think he has a lifetime of making up for the way that he treated her,
personally. That's also true.
You know? And I think the fact that both women have kind of like left him, right, speaks mm-hmm. to that. But you do hope that people, like, when they realize that they're fucking up, do make the right steps to be better people going forward, you know?
And they do need to, like, maintain a functional relationship as parents.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At least until their daughter turns 18. So I think we went through a lot of, like, our feelings. But are there any last things that are standing out to you about Dr. Cha that you want to make sure we mention?
So thinking about Dr. Cha as a divorce comedy and that sort of Venn diagram of the divorce comedy and the rom-com, I would put this more on the end of divorce comedy because most of the rom-com elements are that are like compelling as a romance or with somebody else. Like this is very much about Dr. Cha realizing she needs to get a divorce and finding herself again as an adult.
Okay. I would say that they do lean very heavily into like love triangle tropes.
Yeah.
When that starts to happen towards the middle of the show. But I can give you that. I can give you that it's more, you said more towards the end of divorce comedies or more towards the middle of the Venn diagram?
It's more on the divorce comedy side than the rom-com okay. side. Because I okay. never once wanted her to stay with her husband.
No, yeah. And this is where it gets funny about who's the male lead, right? Because mm-hmm. I was kind of okay with her getting with Roy, mm-hmm. but absolutely never stopped rooting for divorce.
Yep. We're team divorce on this one.
You know what? Maybe we should do that. Like for each one, we'll kind of have a final like, you know, so this clearly stamped team divorce for this episode for Dr. Cha. So for our third episode in this series, we're going to be talking about the K-drama Strangers Again, which you can watch on Viki if you mm-hmm. are doing your SLL homework. Excited to do that.
Yeah, Dr. Cha was kind of an Aoni pick originally, and Strangers mm-hmm. Again is a Corinne pick.
Yeah, it's the one I've watched most recently, so hopefully I'll remember more of the details. And then after Strangers Again, we are going to head on to Let's Get Divorced, which I'm, again, excited to talk about. I think there's a lot of fun things that are happening in Let's Get Divorced mm-hmm. that will build on the conversations that we had about Dr. Cha and about Strangers Again.
If folks want to find us, you can find us on Threads and Instagram, mostly Instagram, at SexLoveLit. And you can also find us on Tumblr at SexLoveLitPodcast.
We post a lot of gift sets because they make us happy.
Mm-hmm. You can also see like what I am currently watching on Tumblr because I'll reblog some of the C-drama gift sets.
Yeah, I get in there sometimes. But if you want to know when our next episodes are coming out, of course, follow us on our socials, but make sure you subscribe to SLL on your favorite podcast platforms. A lot of them will alert you when there's a new SLL episode, so you're never too far behind, and you can know what we'll be talking about in the coming weeks.
All right, well, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Bye!